hello and welcome to the worldwide broadcast of the Ted and Austin Brower Show, bringing you the latest world news and health research. I hope everyone is having a terrific Tuesday today. It's nice and hot down here in Florida, as always. Got a little bit of new information that we've been pulling up today on some stuff. So, yes, be a great show. How are you doing today, Dad?
Austin, absolutely wonderful. The humidity's down today, so it feels pretty nice outside, actually, and I was out there a few minutes ago, and I didn't break into a sweat within the first 20 to 30 seconds, so I thought that was kind of nice. So, yeah, it's great. It's a beautiful, beautiful day, and the sky's actually relatively blue. Very few chemtrails, so I'm really happy about all that. So what's your first story, bud?
Well, the first thing, just to touch base on what's going on over in Vegas now, the entire official story of what happened with the security guard from the beginning of the shooting has now completely changed. Remember, last week I told you guys that the news that I had read, that I had researched on, was that a security guard came in contact with Paddock, and Paddock basically shot and killed him. The same thing that the Australian hotel goer said that was next door to him. He said basically a security guard got shot and killed in the hallway. Well, now Fox just released news that they're saying now that the security worker that ran into Paddock was only shot in the leg, and that was 6 minutes before he even started shooting the crowd, which makes it even stranger, because that means it took even longer, essentially, for Paddock to unload on the crowd. Remember, the entire timeline, they said, took like 72 minutes from the shooting of the crowd when police were downstairs outside reporting that somebody had machine gun fire shooting into the crowd to when SWAT actually entered the room. Now they're saying the security guard that Campos, this the individual, Campos Security, said he was responding to an alarm going off in the hotel that was unrelated to Paddock's room, though, and ventured off to found the source when he came across the sound of drilling. The security guard told the investigators that Paddock was drilling to an adjacent wall in the hallway, most likely to install a camera, but never finished the job. At 9:59, Campos was shot in the leg after Paddock reportedly fired 200 shots into the hallway. Between the time that Campo was shot and Paddock began shooting, they said Campos notified authorities what happened, which is why Las Vegas PD was able to get to his exact location so quickly. Well, this whole thing doesn't even make any more sense now, because secondly, now they're saying that it took 6 minutes for this guy between him shooting in the hallway to when he unloaded on the crowd. I don't know how many individuals have heard rifle fire inside of a closed building. I've only done it once, training, and even with ear and eye protection, it is insanely loud with concussion blasts you get with a rifle. And so now they're saying that this guy let off 200 rounds, essentially, of full-auto fire down the hallway on the 32nd floor, which, by the way, would have rocked the floor above and below and the entire floor to the core. You would not think that's music. You would not think that's stereo. It literally would have been shaking the entire floor. That now, the report originally that the SWAT team and law enforcement reported that the first shooting that even took place was Paddock shooting from the 32nd floor of the two giant high-rise windows that he broke out by himself, and that they reported they saw gunfire, so they knew it was the 32nd floor, so they sent the SWAT team up. Now they're completely contradicting this, saying the security guard got shot when Paddock let loose with 200 rounds. The security guard did not die, and that's how they knew exactly where his location was, Dad. This doesn't make any sense to me. It's like now they're starting to stumble over their own story, trying to add different segments to it and change it up at the last minute to make it sound more legitimate, that now there's this eyewitness security guard that saw Paddock and was shot by Paddock, so he's been able to identify him now before he got the security and notified them, and they allowed SWAT to basically go up there. Now, if you add 6 minutes on the 72, you're looking at essentially 78 minutes it took SWAT to get there from the time of the 200-round burst in the hallway to the time they actually entered the room, Dad. Very, very, very bizarre turn that they're trying to add on this now.
Austin, it's all obfuscation. It's all a bunch of lies. Number one, I doubt the security guard was even shot. I doubt anybody fired 200 rounds through a wall and only hit the security guy one time if that was actually shooting at the security guy. I doubt that, you know, you would not have them breaching the room almost immediately if the heading fire started. See, the Las Vegas police, because they're dealing with tens of millions of dollars in cash, they're designed with their SWAT teams to be ever present in these hotels. They're designed to have a 3 to 5 minute response time, so these guys can't vacate the hotels with a pile of cash.
Yep.
I mean, going in, you see these silly movies like, you know, with Brad Pitt and those guys, and they're going in and they're robbing the Las Vegas casinos. Not going to be done because they've got too many cameras. The cameras are everywhere. And on top of that, there's security everywhere. On top of that, they're trained to handle robberies. They're trained to handle shooters. They're trained to handle all of this stuff. So I don't believe for 1 second that 200 rounds got fired to the guys to the wall. I don't believe for 1 second the security guy got shot. I don't believe that Paddock was alive to do any of this. Now, there could have been somebody else in that room that could have fired a shot at the security guard so he had time to escape. That could have happened. I personally think Paddock was dead long before the shots were fired. I don't believe he ever fired a shot. I don't believe a shot was ever fired through the window of that hotel room. I believe that this whole thing was a complete and total stage. It was part of the FEMA drill that was going on. And they're being told what to say as being involved with crisis actors. I believe there were some live people who got shot. I believe more people got hurt from the trampling for the crowd when the crowd tried to flee with 22,000 people herding and stampeding out of the facility trying to climb chain link fences. Everything's a lie. It was like World War II. You know, in World War I, the sinking of the Lusitania in World War I is what precipitated supposedly Woodrow Wilson and the unfettered bombing or torpedoing of Allied ships in World War I by the German U-boats were supposedly what brought us into the war. You know, the whole thing was being done by the Rothschilds and the Balfour Declaration, and they told the English and the British and the French that they would get the United States into the war if they would give them Palestine. This just read it yourselves, guys. You can go through it yourselves. That's what happened. And then what happened is they basically did. They got the United States into the war through our completely corrupt Congress, through their lobbying efforts because of the incredible amount of lies they were printing about Germany. Germany did not want World War I. Germany did not start World War I. But with the Versailles Treaty, Germany was asked to pay for World War I and pay war reparations. Now, I need to make a clear point here. Because my mom was there. She was born in World War I. My grandfather was there. Germany never lost World War I. It was an armistice. They stopped shooting each other. They just quit. Both sides quit. And the whole thing, the armistice and the treaty or whatever you want to call it, was supposed to be determined later by both countries as to how to figure out what was going on and how they could basically make this thing right. The Rothschilds were going to have none of that. If you listen to Myron Fagan, he was there. He was at the Treaty of Versailles, and he talked about what happened when the Rothschild delegates showed up and took control of everything. This is the international banking community. And this is exactly what's going on again. They forced the United States into World War I. Then they forced the United States into World War II. Franklin Delano Roosevelt, the communist, socialist, whatever you want to call him, with his wife's a satanic leader. I mean, she's basically doing seances in the White House like Abraham Lincoln's wife did. Just read about these guys, a bunch of sickos. And Franklin Delano Roosevelt put together an 8-step process that he worked through Congress that would force Japan to fire at the United States and attack the naval bases in Pearl Harbor. They knew it was going to happen. They allowed it to happen. They set it up. That's why they removed all of the aircraft carriers, they called them flat tops back then, from Pearl Harbor so they wouldn't be sunk. The Arizona and the other battleships that were sunk, these were old weapons. These weapons were like 1800s weapons. These were old weapons, old technology. They didn't lose anything of any significance when they basically bombed Pearl Harbor. But it gave the United States another false flag to start World War II and to declare war. See, and then, of course, Germany declared war the next day along with Japan. But the craziest thing about all of this is that this is what happened. And then we do, and let's fast forward to Korea and the mess that was in the Korean Peninsula and how that was settled by basically everybody quit shooting at each other. And then we look at Vietnam and we find out that the main reason we were in Vietnam was because of the running of drugs to the Cambodian Triangle, and our CIA didn't like sharing the money coming in from the drugs with the Southeast Asian guys. And that's why we were in Vietnam. And Kennedy knew that. And that's why Kennedy wanted us out of Vietnam. That's one of the reasons Kennedy got shot. That he was going to basically talk about what happened at Roswell. He was going to talk about, you know, he's going to get rid of with Executive Order 11110. He's going to start, you know, getting rid of the Federal Reserve Bank. He was going to get rid of the FMOB and the CIA, all intertied together. He was going to do all of that stuff. And of course, he ran his mouth as to what he was going to do, and they blew his head off. I mean, all of these things are just false flags, false flags, false flags. Let me give you an example. For months now, I've talked about how what happened in the Russian Revolution, and they're trying to do it in the United States. And today I found a pretty good article that's saying the same thing that I've been telling you guys now for the past months. And it says basically, Bolshevik Revolution 2.0, America is being rebooted. This is from the Government Rag, and it's a really good article. And I can't read all of it because it's too long, and I sent it to my personal list if you guys have it already. But it's by Jack Mullen, M-U-L-L-E-N. And he quotes some very interesting people. He quotes Vladimir Lenin. He goes, "It is impossible to predict the time and the progress of revolution. It is governed by its own more or less mysterious laws." In other words, as soon as you get a certain boiling point, you have an automatic spontaneous revolution like they had in Russia. But that was all paid for by the Zionists or the Rothschilds or the central banks. Let me read you part of this. "Most people have very little, if any, understanding of the history of the total destruction brought to Russia by the Bolsheviks." Now remember, these were all Jewish guys. They're all Rothschilds. They're all Sabbateans. They're all Satanists. "Succeeded in forcing Tsar Nicholas II to abdicate Emperor of Russia in March 1917. This is the primary reason that Hitler couldn't stand these guys. Ending in the Romanov family's rule of Russia and ushering in a period called the Bolsheviks' Revolution, which began in earnest on November the 6th, 1917, which soon led to one of the longest, most brutal mass murderings campaigns in all history. Tens of millions, close to 50 million were murdered. It was shortly after the start of the revolution, the Bolsheviks, under the direction of Trotsky, Lenin, and Stalin, had the Tsar and his entire family, wife and five children, brutally murdered, along with murder of the family's four servants." Now, this is again, is believed by many to be the final act of revenge against Russia ruling family by the Rothschild family, for the reason that Tsar Alexander from 1808 to 25 had discovered and thwarted the plan of the Rothschilds and their agents to create a one-world government after the Napoleonic Wars. They were trying to take over the war even back in the early 1800s, which had left Europe devastated, broke, and ready for peace at any cost, according to Myron Fagan. Now, you guys need to listen to this guy. He's got some very good videos and audio tapes. They're not videos, available online. Myron Fagan. He was also a brilliant historian and also a Hollywood film producer who turned against the entire industry out there after they started promoting communism. Quote, here's what he says. "Immediately after the Napoleonic Wars, the Illuminati, the Rothschilds, assumed that all nations were destitute and so weary of wars they'd be glad for any solution. So the Rothschild stooges set up what they called the Congress in Vienna. And at that meeting, they tried to create the first League of Nations, their first attempted one-world government, on the theory that that all the crown heads of European governments were so deeply in debt to the Rothschilds, they would willingly or unwillingly serve as their stooges. But the Tsar of Russia caught the stench of the plot and completely torpedoed it. The enraged Nathan Rothschild, then the head of the dynasty, vowed that same day that he or his descendants would destroy the Tsar and his entire family, and his descendants did accomplish that very threat in 1917. So, guys, read through this. This is exactly what these guys are doing. This is what Antifa is. Now, and it's so funny. I am the only person that calls out George Soros as a cutout of the Rothschild banking cartel. You've got to do research on the guy and find out he was trained in the Bank of England, which is pretty much controlled by the Rothschild group. George Soros was set up and funded his entire life. Now, he may be dead by now. We have no idea. Set up his entire life by the Rothschild banking cartel. This is who he is, just like J.P. Morgan was, just like the Rockefellers were, just like Carnegie was. All of these people, these industrialists out of the 1800s, had to have huge amounts of capital for expansion of the steel mills, or because of the oil, or because of the refineries. They had to go to the Rothschild banks, guys. They had to go to these guys to borrow these vast sums of money. They were given to these guys in return to basically become a pawn for these guys. They tried to do the same thing with Henry Ford. And Henry Ford went around them when they tried to take over Ford Motor Company. And he said to them, "No, I'm not going to allow you guys to do this." And that's why he wrote, he was a super anti-Semite, Henry Ford was. And he actually wrote a treatise. You can read it online. It's called The International Jew, talking about the Rothschild International Banking Cartel and how they had tried to cripple and take over Ford Motor Company. He was a vehement anti-Semite. And the thing about it is that when these guys get involved in your life and they start trying to seize your stuff and seize your assets and seize your country and kill your people like they did with the Bolsheviks, you get a lot of people out there that really hate these guys. But what happens is they confuse. the vast majority of the Jews have no idea what's going on. They're just trying to, you know, go through life like the rest of us. It's the Satanists, it's the Luciferians, it's the Sabbatean Kabbalists who claim to be Jews, who are not in most cases, they have no Abrahamic blood in them, who are doing all of this stuff and using it as a format, as a template for a one world order and a one world government. These guys have been at this for hundreds and hundreds of years, and guys, they're not going to stop. You know, the only way you can get rid of these guys is like Andrew Jackson said. He said, "I'm going to root you out. I'm going to get rid of you guys. You guys are a den of serpents, of vipers." I mean, this is Andrew Jackson, the last president to ever pay off the national debt. And he got rid of the Bank of the United States and got rid of Andrew Biddle and said, "No, I'm not going to renew your charter for the Federal Reserve Bank that you set up at the War of 1812 because you wanted to continue to fight our country unless we gave you the right to run the money supply again." That's why we had the War of 1812. It was a Rothschild war again. So guys, this is a major, major problem that we've got. Nobody wants to talk about it. It's the international banking cartels that are doing this. Germany was a complete and total helpless victim during World War One. Got their whole country, millions starved to death in World War One. Millions starved to death after World War One. Then these same clowns who ran the banking system in Germany hyperinflated the currency, extracted all of the wealth from the German people by buying up the blue chip stocks, buying up the gold, buying up the silver, buying up all of this stuff. And then they had all these people unbelievably mad at them because they had done this. And Hitler pointed out in Mein Kampf when he wrote the book and said, "Hey, look, guys, this international banking cartel is doing all of this stuff to us, and we're supposed to lay down and like it?" And the German people said, "No, they're not going to like it." Then Hitler went nuts. If he had taken Poland over, you've heard me say this 100 times, which he'd lost in the Treaty of Versailles, and left it there, because he owned a big chunk of Poland. If he had left it, if he had taken the land back, they had lost in the Treaty of Versailles and never had a World War II. Because remember, in 1937, Hitler got rid of the Federal Reserve Bank of the Rothschilds in 1937. And instead of using gold, he used the industrious nature, the human capital of the German people as a value associated with the German mark. And he was able to do the entire World War II without any debt. This is what they were all scared of in Germany, I mean, in Europe, that they were going to throw the Rothschild banking cartel out and say, "We've had enough of you vipers, you doggone Satanists. We don't want you guys involved in our life and in our currency any longer or in our country." This is what's going on right now in Vegas. This is what happened at the Pulse Club last year. This is what happened, you know, when we saw the shootings, this the stuff that we had up there in Virginia a few months back with all the Antifa riots. All of this stuff is being funded directly through Black Lives Matter, directly through MoveOn.org, directly on all of these communist fronts that George Soros has set up. Remember, these Rothschild boys are the guys that started the communist revolution. This is their template, and they're using it in the United States. The problem is, we're armed, and they don't know what to do with that. They're having a conniption fit because they were supposed to have already done this, and they can't bring us into a new world order with 300 million guns in the United States. They've got to take the weapons. That's, again, why we told you. All of this stuff is smoke screens. They got something much, much bigger coming down the road. They're trying to cover up what they're doing. Here's the thing. I'm going to say this again, and I'm going to drop this topic. We have the NSA spying on my show. The FBI spying on my show, on the Hagman show, and Hodges show, and Sheila show, monitoring the entire internet, monitoring everybody who's listening to this show's cell phones. Everybody's cell phones are monitored every single day. We're spending hundreds of billions of dollars on the NSA, on the Patriot Act, in implementation of this one world, new world order government police state that we live in the United States. Do you really believe, guys, I mean, honestly, that this guy was able to get all those weapons up, never sent a text out, never sent an email out? They knew before he ever did anything that they were going to be the ones who were going to facilitate this. Guys, we are ISIS. We're the ones who fund those guys. The United States, us, are your taxpayers, our taxpayer dollars. We fund ISIS. We started ISIS. Just like we have these guys running our government right now with all of their cutouts, and they're the ones that are setting all of this stuff up. So anything, Austin, like you said, this thing is so confusing. The guy was dead, now he's not dead, now he was shot, now he wasn't shot, now he's shot in the leg, now there's 200 rounds fired on the floor. You can't believe any of it, because quite frankly, they can send a construction crew in there if there was one bullet hole and fix it in a matter of minutes. If they have 200 bullet holes, you can send a sheetrock crew and have it fixed within 24 hours and paint it. And see, this is the problem that we run into when we're fed all of this BS and we're told to believe this stuff, and we continue to talk about all the different variables. The problem is we have no idea if the shooter was shot, if he really was the shooter. His doggone face had a big hole in it. Can't identify him. We don't know what's going to happen to the forensics. Remember what happened with Enron, guys, when Ken LaHaye stole hundreds of billions of dollars away, and it was all part of the Rothschild banking scheme out there in California. Hundreds of billions of dollars were charged to people for utility bills that they did not owe. Ken LaHaye gets convicted. The day he gets convicted and sentenced, they find him dead in the cell. Immediately, he is basically cremated. I mean, like within minutes. No body, no anything. Nobody could talk about it. And then in Building 7 came down, the Solomon Building at 9/11, all the physical records of Enron, all destroyed, no further prosecutions, nothing to see here, move on. That's what these guys do. It's all set up, just like they're doing right now, Austin, to put out false information. Google's hired 1,000 people now to go out and work for newspapers for free, be paid by Google, to direct all the traffic now to all of the news stories that they deem appropriate that they write. This is what we're having. We're watching a complete and total censorship of alternative news now because of the Google search engine and what they're doing in the United States, because the Rothschilds control this too, because they don't want me and Austin or Steve Quayle or Dave Hodges or Sheila or Doug or Joe or Caravan at Midnight or George Norrie. I was on with George Norrie a year and a half ago. I've been on with her several times on Caravan on Coast to Coast, and it was funny. I could talk about pretty much anything on there, but you know, when I was on there, and you guys listened to the show, you can listen to it two or three times. It was right before Easter Sunday. It was a year and a half ago, and a couple of times I kept saying in the show, George, I'd like to talk about the blood of Christ. The blood of Christ. No, we'll talk about it later. I asked him two or three times, you can listen to the broadcast. I want to talk about the blood of Christ because it's Easter Sunday. No, I don't want to talk about that. Finally, the producer comes on and says, do not try to direct George. He will tell you what he wants to talk about. Guys, they're scared to death of the blood of Christ. They're scared to death of Yeshua. They're scared to death of Yahweh. These guys have read Isaiah chapter 15. They know that Lucifer is going to show up in hell with the rest of them in chains. And they're going to ask, what the heck happened to you? You know, you're the one who's supposed to get us out of this mess. Guys, this is what's happening right now. We happen to be alive in probably the most energizing point in history you could ever be alive in the United States, except for the Revolutionary War, or perhaps the Civil War, or perhaps the War of 1812. We are right in the middle of this giant thing right now of them actually trying to take over the United States of America. And you, my friends, you, me, Austin, all these show hosts I mentioned today, we are the resistance. We are the ones that are saying, the heck with you clowns, we don't want to go down your road. We don't want to do this. We don't want to be a bunch of slaves. It's complete nonsense. You see, this is the problem that we have in America today. The vast majority of the people have been brainwashed. And they've done it through pharmaceuticals. Pharmakia, it talks right about that in the Book of Revelation. They've given people statin drugs to make them unbelievably stupid. They've given them fluoride to make them unbelievably stupid. They've given them fluoride toothpaste to make them even more stupid. They've done all of these things to everybody they possibly can. They've given them immunizations to make them more stupid. They've given them tricyclic antidepressants to make them more stupid. They've given them serotonin reuptake inhibitors to make them more stupid. And all of these things are being done on purpose because they want to create a victim status. And all of these people have all these health problems because victims or addicts, like drug addicts, they don't want to rebel. The only thing they care about is getting their next fix. They don't want to hear alternative radio talk show. They want to find out where they can get some more heroin. That's where they put us. They've turned this country into a bunch of doggone drug addicts and a bunch of people that have been drugged down to do everything they possibly can. But they didn't count on the resistance, on you and me and Austin and everybody listening to this show saying, the heck with you clowns. I don't believe this crap you're telling us, and I'm not going to put up with your lies anymore. That's the problem they've run into, Austin, because they can't stop the alternative news. I mean, I'll start sending out newsletters again if I have to. I mean, I'll do everything I have to continue to tell the people who listen to the show what the real truth is going on. And that aggravates the yak. I mean, this is why they have defunded with Google, with their search engines on YouTube. They have defunded almost all of the patriotic websites and all of the patriotic videos. Guys, they took my YouTube videos of this show down. They took them down. They took all of them down. I no longer have a YouTube channel. We had to close it off because of they came up with some bogus study. Well, let me tell you why they closed my YouTube show down. Because I talk about Jesus. I talk about Sabbateans. I talk about the blood of Christ. And I tell you guys the truth of what's going on after reading thousands of books and tens of thousands of book articles, if not hundreds of thousands, over the last 30 years. I tell you guys what's going on. Say, removed it, just took it down. But see, the thing about it is we didn't monetize through that. It didn't make a difference. You guys have blessed us enough to be able to do the show by getting your vitamins and your supplements and the things that we have at the office through us, and it allows us to continue doing shows like this. Guys, that's how they're hitting everybody's in their pocketbooks. Because guys, this is going to be this is not going to go easy. These guys are not going to lay down and go to sleep. They killed the entire Russian family. They killed tens of millions, close to 50 million people in Russia. They don't care about you. They don't care about me. To you and me, to them, all we are animals, or goyim, they call us. Just feedlot animals. They don't care if they shoot us or take us out back and butcher us. They already drink our blood, their sicko services they do and their ceremonies they do. I mean, these guys are nuts. And quite frankly, they're serving their master. And they don't like when we get on national radio like this, or international radio, as in some cases, with people hearing us all over the country and all over the world, and tell the truth about these guys. And I'm sorry I pontificated so long, Austin, but I got all caught up in this Russian Revolution stuff and got me all hacked off.
Oh, I noticed that. I was going to bring up another aspect of what I saw on the Zero Hedge, and you made a valid point with all this, because this is exactly what they're doing. Now they're trying to come up, and you've noticed this now, over the last week, they monitor everything. They monitor the chatter online. They monitor texts. They monitor phones. They monitor emails. They monitor these shows. So they're seeing what different aspects people are bringing up, what things people are saying, what things people are saying. Oh, I don't agree with that. That sounds bogus, this and that. Well, now they just did an interview with CBS Sunday evening, which supposedly which was essentially the first in-depth interview of the shooting of the law enforcement officers who first entered Stephen Paddock's hotel room. Supposedly, that's what they're saying. And remember how I told you guys last week, I said the ballistics of a 5.56 round from 300 feet up, factoring in windage elevation, just that right there with a long-range rifle, factoring in a 500-meter shot from 300 feet up in the air. You got to think about it. Vegas is a desert. The windage that you're going to feel from 300 feet up in the air, even on the backside of a building, you're still going to be dealing anywhere from between the lowest is 10-mile-an-hour winds, all the way up to probably 20 to 30-mile-an-hour gusts on a calm night on Vegas out there in the desert. There's breezes out there all the time if you go out there, especially at 300 feet in the air. So I said, the ballistics didn't make sense. How is this guy running a bump fire, which is the most like inaccurate way to shoot a weapon high speed, you know, simulate auto fire, from that elevation at that distance and be this accurate? Well, now the officers, and I quote, this is what they said in the interview. We saw that he had something like a suicide note. We could see it had written the distance, the elevation he was on, the drop of what his bullet was going to be for the crowd. It was not a suicide note. It was a detailed bullet trajectory, including calculations about where he needed to aim his weapon to maximize accuracy and optimize his kill rate.
Whatever.
Okay, hold on there for a second. That would be an incredibly valid argument if this guy was perched on top of the roof with a 308 with a 10 to 14 times scope from that position, and he wanted to dial in headshots from the top of the building at 500 meters out. That would be incredibly accurate. He's going to handwrite his stuff down and have it. The problem with that is he didn't have scopes on the ARs. He had red dots. There is no adjusting for elevation on EOTech.
Nope.
And he had a slide fire, which means the gun's rocking back and forth in front of your chest, which means there is no compensating for windage or elevation or any of that with an EOTech with a slide fire. It can't be done. And it's funny, I talked to a retired Marine infantry guy today. I picked up a couple guns from his gun store. And I brought up the topics first thing this morning, and he goes, I don't buy it for one second. He goes, I was in the Army. There's all kinds of stuff that they tell you, here's your mission, this is what you're going to do, but don't ask A, B, or C. Don't bring them. Don't talk about them. Don't bring it up. It's just, you don't talk about them. He said, I don't know everything about this. And he goes, I probably don't want to know everything about it. He goes, I can tell you right now, this was not a 64-year-old with a bump fire. He goes, I got three bump fires. I said, yeah, I've shot them too. He goes, you don't shoot a bump fire that accurately. He goes, every single time you heard the gun rattle off, he goes, when did you hear a single hiccup with the bump fire? You can only get, he goes, 15, 20, 30 rounds out of a bump fire most of the time without it hicking up, or you got to stop and kind of reset. He goes, it's a bump fire. He goes, there's no way. He goes, secondly, he goes, this guy hit as many people as like a Marine Corps machine gunner did in his prime. He goes, do you understand? It's what brought up me. I thought about the same thing. He goes, do you understand the windage at 300 feet up in the air trying to shoot a bump fire from that distance? He goes, unbelievably difficult to do. And they're making it sound like he did it so easily. And he goes, my opinion, he goes, I think the guy was dead before even anything got shot.
There you go.
If something did even get shot out of that room, he goes, the next thing you got to look at, he goes, there's two options here with the photos. He goes, either the photos were completely legitimate, they did raid that room, and something happened in that room, or B, the room is completely staged. He goes, why would one person that had all these guns lined up, set up, completely mapped this whole thing out from his windage, his elevation, broke the windows out perfectly, had his mag stacked up perfectly beside the pillar, why would he throw his rifles all over the room like a complete and total lunatic? He said, look at the photos. There's a rifle on the couch. There's a rifle on the other side of the couch. There's a rifle in the bathtub. There's a rifle on the floor. There's another rifle on the floor. He goes, the guns are spread out like a kid came in there and started tossing guns back and forth like they were playing cops and robbers. He goes, why, if you had your guns lined up, you were prepped with all of your windage, you knew your distance, you had your slide fire dialed in, and you were ready to swap guns out because you knew the barrels were going to cook off, why would you take each gun and throw it behind you 200 feet in the room and toss each one in every direction and then grab your next gun and then throw it in another direction? He goes, that makes zero legitimate sense from a shooter. He goes, you would have all of your guns lined up, you would dropping them in, you would drop them into a shot pile on one side, and you would pull from the other side that was loaded up and ready to go. You would shoot, run through a magazine, drop the rifle in the pile. Grab a rifle from the right side, shoot, drop the rifle again in the left pile, in the shot pile. He goes, you would not throw your guns all over the place. He goes, the only reason that would happen, he said, if you had two or three shooters in the room that were rotating positions, handing off firearms, and one was like, I'm out, I need another mag, I'm out, I need another rifle, tossing a rifle away so he gets it away from him so he doesn't reuse it, and another guy tosses him another rifle and shoots. And he goes, that's the only legitimate reason you would have that many rifles spread out over that size apartment size. This feels like 1,100, 1,200 square foot hotel room. It wasn't a motel that was, you know, 100 square feet long. It was huge. And so he goes, that and the fact that there's no way this guy got these windows open at high rise levels like that unless he was running breeches. He goes, the only way you could blow windows like that is with breeches. He goes, if you tried to shoot out with him, you would literally stamp holes all over the place with a 5.56 caliber and have to slowly chip and beat parts of the window out and giant slabs as you kicked it and pushed it out. He goes, it was entirely too clean, like the window was already pre-broken to begin with as soon as everybody got in there and they had it ready to go. So that's what he told me. He said he didn't believe for a second that that's what's going on. He said, and also we need to find out all the deceased names that come up in the obituary. He said, because in his opinion, this could have been to knock out somebody very specific in that entire crowd, and they used this as a giant cover to use other people that were going to be injured, other people that were going to be shot, and all this whole nonsense is obfuscation. And the same thing we said, that this guy could not even be dead. They may be giving him a new identity, that he may be involved in something else, but he told me under no certain terms whatever did the actual shooting take place like they're telling us now, especially with the way the room was laid out, if that was the real room, especially the way the windows were blown out, if they were even broken out and they weren't already pre-cut, like somebody came in there with a giant saw and cut the windows out jaggedly to make it look like somebody pushed them out. He said, absolutely no way. So you're right, Dad. This whole thing, and the reason why I keep bringing parts of this up is because I want to make sure everybody understands all these different options. And there's something else going on right now. Dad, know that. There's something else going on right now. There's got something going on behind the scenes. Now we see whether or not this is going to be a positive thing or not. It looks like it is. Supposedly, President Trump tweeted today now, and I quote, since Congress cannot get its act together on health care, I will be using the power of the pen to give great health care to many people fast. He tweeted today, President Trump said he will allow the Americans to buy health care across state lines, which is a plan spearheaded by Senator Ron Paul. And he's also suggesting that an executive order is on the way that will address health care. So I don't know if this is something that they're trying to use to kind of cover up this shooting now, to take over the mainstream media narrative of what they're playing on it. But I can tell you right now, there is a lot of people all over the country that are absolutely questioning this entire mainstream narrative. That's why they're trying to come up with all these bobo stories, like interviewing the SWAT team on CBS Nightly News now, and them saying that they thought the paper was a suicide note, but now they found that it was careful trajectory of the windage and elevation, so he had perfect shot placement. Are you joking me? Takes a 10th grader that has any type of access to a firearm to realize somebody with a slide fire from 300 feet in the air and EOTech on it has absolutely no care in the world about trajectory or windage or elevation whatsoever. You're simply going to try and point in that area and hope rounds land on people from that distance, Dad.
Well, the SWAT team needs to be careful because that's what they did with SEAL Team 6. SEAL Team 6 went to the White House and got basically talked to by President Obama, and a few months later they were all dead. So, I mean, you got to remember all the people who died. Remember, Lee Harvey Oswald was killed almost immediately. I mean, people don't understand this. I mean, the guys involved in all of this stuff, when these deep cover-ups happen, they got to get rid of the eyewitnesses and the people who are involved in them. I mean, you know, it's just that's what they do. And this is what they've always done. And this is why so many of the witnesses from 9/11 who were actually in the towers and heard the multiple explosions, et cetera, they've all died mysteriously. They've hung themselves or shot themselves or disappeared. I mean, this thing's crazy what they do to these people when they start running their mouth too much. Now, the reason we can get away with stuff like this as alternative talk show hosts is that we're not eyewitness material witnesses. We haven't seen all of the stuff. Once you get to the point, like Seth Rich, when you start seeing the emails and seeing what's going on and seeing what's happening and seeing who's doing this, all of a sudden you show up dead. See, this is the problem that people run into all the time. It's like Gonzalez, you know, Dr. Gonzalez, you know, when he got killed a couple of years ago when they discovered that cure for autism with the GCMF molecule. I mean, all of the people that are in the middle of the fray, so to speak, you know, they're the ones who get shot. And Bradstreet, I mean, he got shot too when he figured all this stuff out with Gonzalez. So it's just one of those things, guys, continue to pray for. This is important. And one more thing I want to talk about this real quick. You know, it's not enough that we've got to deal with these nutbag, Sabbatean, Rothschild lunatics who control the Federal Reserve System. That's not enough, okay? Now we understand what happened in Genesis chapter 6. Let me digress for just a second here for those of you who don't know what we're talking about. In Genesis chapter 6 in the Bible, it says that every man's thought was evil all of the time. God had enough of it because these fallen angels, or the aliens, or whatever you want to call them, pick a name, Nephilim, aliens, things that aren't from around here, pick it, whatever you want to call them, it didn't make any difference. They started breeding with the human beings and corrupted the gene pool. Noah still had clean DNA. He was picked by God because he was a righteous man, and he had clean DNA, and he wasn't going around, I guess, doing all the weird, crazy stuff they were doing. And, you know, now we're starting to understand, Austin, when we see what transhumanism is, and we see what chips are, and we start unraveling the DNA code, and we start understanding what these fallen angels, aliens, or whatever you want to call them, reptilians, David Icke calls them, which I'm actually okay with that, as long as you understand it's a fallen angel, because, you know, Satan shows up as a snake with the Garden of Eden, and through all the time and records from the all the way back thousands of years, you always have these serpent gods all the way back to Egypt. And so all of this stuff, it's not like we got enough to deal with these nutbag Rothschilds, but they started worshiping these serpent gods, Baal and Moloch, and sacrificing their children, all of this stuff we talked about the other day. And now all of a sudden, the boys are back. This whole group of these guys, these extraterrestrials, whatever you want to call them, are back in the middle of everything we're doing, trying to figure out what's happening on the planet. These are the guys that caused everything to go bad on the planet in Genesis chapter 6, the fallen angels, the demons, or whatever you want to call them. And now we've got to think about all of this stuff, Austin, and we've got to throw in Genesis chapter 6 into the middle of the mix. Guys, they're doing something. Something really big is happening with transhumanism, with the 5G networks, with all the smart dust they've made us breathe involuntarily. They forced us to do it through the chemtrails by putting nanotags in everybody. They're about to do something. The technology is there. They're setting up the space fence. They're doing all of this stuff. around the planet right now, and nobody is supposed to pay any attention, Austin, to any of the stuff that they're doing, just like they did in Genesis chapter 6. Because back then, they were using the pyramids on the magnetic ley lines of the planet, and the when you have water that travels more than, like, I think it's 300 meters per second in a crevice under the ground, it sets up an electromagnetic field. It actually starts glowing blue. And if you run it long enough like that, it turns into like a type of oil. And it sends up this huge magnetic sphere around itself. That's how they tied all of the pyramids into these ley lines and into the magnetic resonance fields. When God came in, He split the continents apart. He broke all those ley lines up, and the pyramids quit working to control this electrical field around the planet. This is not what we think it is. This entire planet, the way that Lucifer and the boys have done what they've done to it, is not the way God intended it for it to be. Everything has been changed, guys. And that's why the Bible says that Satan runs about as a roaring lion seeking those whom he may devour. That's what this whole thing's back about. It's almost like we're like a ant farm down here to these guys, and they use the energy from our light photons to feed themselves. This is a real mess, and we've talked about it so many times on the show. I want to bring it up again today because they're doing the exact same thing they did in Genesis chapter 6. Because remember, the entire government's been compromised since 1947, where the OSS became the CIA, and they tied together with Majestic 12, and they put together all of these groups. I've done an entire show with it on Hagman. Sometimes I wish I hadn't read and learned all that stuff. I've read thousands of pages about this mess. And guys, it's real. And before I started studying it, I never thought it was. I knew they were fallen angels, but I never knew how involved they were as far as human beings and control of everything. Guys, this is a major, major mess. That's why we've all got to stand, and we've got to pray together that Yeshua returns, that Yahweh continues to protect us, that we're continually cleansed, and our DNA is renewed by the blood of the Lamb, which we've talked about so many times on the Blood of Christ shows, which is one of the only shows that I play like once a quarter because it's that important that everybody understands it. Because, guys, as Christians, we have a hope and a future. If I wasn't a Christian, if I wasn't saved, if I didn't know Yeshua was the Son of the Holy God, the Son of Yahweh, I would be so frustrated right now, I wouldn't know what to do with myself because of these guys. But because of we have a relationship with God through Christ, we have hope. That's the thing that we have that the people in this world don't have. Look at this Weinstein lowlife out in California raping and sexually assaulting all of those girls through his Miramax studios. I mean, this guy's a complete and total scumbucket. And, you know, this is how the world lives. This is how this world sees things. This is how the world responds to their demonic masters. Guys, we've been set apart. We've been set to a higher standard. So let's all continue to work on this race to the best of our ability. So when we get to heaven, God will say to each of us listening to this show today, well done, good and faithful servant. But I wanted to share that with you. Now I got to get off that. I'll be preaching the whole show here today. The Muslim issue. Let's talk about this. Atlantic Jihad, the untold story of white slavery. I wanted to cover with you this the other day because we were talking about the Irish slaves and all the other people when Austin did that really good segment he did on the show. Europeans captured and sold by Islamic jihadists in Africa. In Poland alone, over 3 million people were taken into slavery by Muslims, an enormous number for a small country like Poland. One can only imagine how many millions far closer to the entry points of the European countries got kidnapped and taken into slavery across Europe by Muslims. Add that number to centuries of Muslim slave raids. Whilst the Arabs have been acknowledged as a prime force in the early usage of slaves from Africa, very little has been written about their usage of white slaves, whether they're part of the Russian slave trade or those kidnapped by Arab pirates. However, in recent years, the research of some authors has been bringing this issue to light, and the origins of African slavery in the New World Order cannot be understood without some knowledge of the millennium of warfare between Christians and Muslims that took place in the Mediterranean and in the Atlantic, and the piracy and the kidnapping that went along with it. This is in 1627. Pirates from the Barbary coast of North Africa raided distant Iceland and enslaved nearly 400 astonished residents. In 1617, Muslim pirates, having long enslaved Christians along the coast of Spain, France, Italy, and even Ireland, captured 1,200 men in Portugal, in the Madeira. Now, I'm not going to read you all this. This is called The Muslim Issue, Atlantic Jihad, The Untold Story of White Slavery. And you can look at this up through WordPress, and you can read it yourself. But guys, we have to understand that this isn't something that just happened in the United States. This slavery issue, it talked about it in the Bible thousands and thousands of years ago. And whenever a human being can dominate another person and put them into a state of slavery is reprehensible to me, and we need to continue to work on this and realize, guys, that with the Muslims who are these jihadists, the ones who want us to cry Allah Akbar, I'm sorry, whacking off heads, they have one of two choices for Christians. Either you basically convert or you die. And so, guys, we've got to continue to stand against this unfettered immigration and continue to support Donald Trump in his efforts to stop this stuff. Austin, what do you think?
No, you're absolutely right about it. And to touch base back on what we talked about before is where we literally have this generation in this entire population in the United States that is completely, essentially hooked on drugs and narcotics and antidepressants and benzodiazepines and every aspect of it. I saw a new article earlier from Alex Petrowski from Natural Blaze, and he went into detail on what a new research report that came out of Nebraska now, and it starts off, he says, should people without depression take medication to prevent it? This is the latest question to come out of modern psychiatry and is explored in detail in a recent article by a major news outlet. In short, they are presenting an admittedly controversial idea, the suggestion that certain people who could be statistically higher risk of developing symptoms of depression be treated preemptively with antidepressants. This is from the Washington Post. This is what they're originally ones who posted this. Looking at a research report out of Nebraska, the articles noted that patients suffering from head and neck cancers are predisposed to become clinically depressed during treatment, and that in a study, patients given antidepressants were less likely to be depressed. In medicine, this approach is often referred to as a treatment used to prevent disease. They're showing here now that it could help reduce risk patient populations and it could help them with this, and they've done different trials on it. The conclusion is that using antidepressants preemptively may prevent depression is not new. This approach has been researched a number of times and has reached a conclusion that depression can be prevented by antidepressants. These findings provide compelling reasons for physicians and patients to consider using these medicines to preempt mental health issues, but their experimental frontier, which relies on prediction and prevention, is controversial. The notion of personal health freedom informs us that patients should have the last word on medications and treatments, and while suggesting that antidepressants can be used like this is not inherently dangerous, this line of thinking sets an uncomfortable precedent. They go on to say, just because an antidepressant may help prevent a drug-induced depression does not mean all non-depressed individuals will benefit from taking antidepressants preemptively. In fact, it may also have the opposite effect. What they're really not telling here is that kind of devastating societal health effects such a trend might create. And it goes on in detail here to talk about essentially how the negative side effects of antidepressants, how a huge one, suicide, at the very mildest, causes massive diarrhea. This, I mean, just goes on and on. And so, but the Washington Post, of course, is trying to really promote this, and it's exactly what Dad said. It's the same thing that they talked about with the American Heart Association that came out a couple years ago, that now guys should start taking statin drugs, even if they have healthy cholesterol, just in order to help them prevent heart disease. Now they're saying we need to start taking antidepressants if any individual has a marker that they may be more inherently predisposed to have depression. They need to start on antidepressants preemptively now in order to prevent that. That has to be one of the stupidest ideology I've ever heard of. If that's the case, so we're saying, well, one day you may end up having a back injury and you need to have back surgery, so we should probably just put you on OxyContin now because you may have back injuries in the future and it'll prevent you from feeling the pain as bad. Where they come up with this stuff? I mean, this is the point now where we see it is a blatant push from the pharmaceuticals who work directly with Amazon and the Washington Post. So it doesn't surprise me they're putting out garbage like this. But it's a blatant push now to get more people and more people and more people hooked on these incredibly dangerous drugs like antidepressant, like Prozac and Zoloft. These are not drugs, in my opinion, that should be used unless it's absolutely necessary. There's no other option. But at first, I always recommend a very detailed approach of supplement, dietary, and overall health lifestyle changes before you start going on these incredibly invasive medications, Dad. But can you believe this now? Now they're pushing to put people preemptively on antidepressants that may be predisposed to depression in the future.
Well, that's it's called the pre-crime unit.
Yeah.
That's what this is. If you're going to basically get depressed down the road, we might as well take care of it before you get depressed and get the money started right now so we can make sure that we get the dollars from you and continue to enslave you through narcotics. That's what this whole thing's about. Well, I've gone into detail about what they do with the narcotics on the show today. This is what they do. This is what the Book of Revelation says. They call it pharmakia. They want everybody to get hooked on this stuff. You know how difficult it is to get off these tricyclic antidepressants. I mean, we have a good friend of yours who went to college with you. She's been on them and hooked on them now since college, and she's 32 years old. I mean, she can't get off of them, man. She's a family health counselor. She's a licensed counselor in the state of Georgia, and she still can't get off of them because she's addicted to this stuff. I mean, because she can't deal with the mood swings of what happens to her brain when she starts coming off of this stuff. So it's just crazy what they're trying to do. Also, remember, cod liver oil, 5-hydroxyl-tryptophan, methylated B vitamins, all that stuff massively, massively allow your brain to work right. By the way, this is an interesting story. Saturday Night Live. Gal Gadot, she's the girl who's the Israeli citizen who played Wonder Woman, okay? And she basically won Miss Israel and said that she intentionally lost the Miss Universe contest by pretending not to speak English. That's how arrogant this one is. And unbelievable. I'll never watch another one of her movies again. And now, so she does, and she goes on Saturday Night Live this past week and decides to do a full-blown lesbian scene with one of the girls there on the set, and they joke about lesbian stuff. And now my wife has called this out repeatedly, that this whole Wonder Woman thing, all the way back to their island that they were on, is going to go full-blown lesbian. I see that coming because they're forcing it on the media. Look at that sicko Weinstein and what he did. These guys are a bunch of stinking perverts. I can't stand any of them. Austin, I'm going to do the write-up. I kind of got myself a little aggravated today, so I'm going to go ahead and let you finish the show. You talk about some more health items. I'll do the write-up real quick, and I'll send it to you. If you need to correct it, you can. And God bless you guys, and I'll talk to you tomorrow. Bye-bye.
Sounds good, bud. Also, too, there's another story that just came out now, which has startled a lot of people, where it's starting to show Cambodian farms showcasing huge genetically altered pigs with monster muscles. And a lot of people at first were writing these off, that these basically hogs had massive amounts of steroids being pumped into them, like massive amounts of all types of stuff, including trenbolone, which they use in cows sometimes. But apparently now, if you take time to start doing the research on it, they start talking about that this wasn't just steroid usage and other hormones they're using, but they're actually genetically modifying these animals. Duroc, Cambodia, a farm located in the Providence, is responsible for breeding the Hulk-like pigs. Some suspect the animals now are freakishly muscular due to genetic tampering. Others have accused the pigs of using massive amounts of hormones and steroids. Considering the breeder is also selling insemination kits to people who want to grow their own buff-looking pigs, the hormone aspect is unlikely because, as you guys know, hormones and steroids do not affect your DNA in that aspect. It does not pass on to your offspring. So if they're actually going to produce other piglets off these guys, is, you know, with insemination kits from these pigs, it can't be hormone or steroid related. It's something genetically altering. So photos of them now released basically in the beginning of this year, they've caught a massive amount of people's eyes. And so they're starting to really look into this now to figure out what's going on. And the odd part about this is I've talked about this for years, is that they've been genetically modifying animals for quite some time now. Under the table, over the table, as we've seen now with the genetically modified salmon, it's being pushed into stores and they're not even letting us know on the label that it's genetically modified salmon whatsoever. They're refusing to let us know. The first time in history they've ever produced in the United States or outside the United States but released it for human consumption, a completely genetically altered animal for full human consumption with no restrictions on it, and they're refusing to label it on the packaging. That right there, in my opinion, is criminal negligence. Even allowing somebody to do something like that with zero human testing boggles my mind, but again, shows you the level of corruption that these biotech engineers are involved in, that they do not care about health, that Congress does not care about health, that the FDA does not care about health, that none of these guys care about the population of the United States health. That's what's so funny about it to me, is they want to ban certain things or say, like, well, the DEA is going to Schedule 1 kratom now because we think it could have health impacts on people, even though there's never been a single death related to kratom in history directly related to just kratom. But yet they want to Schedule 1 it still. They're still trying to push for that. Yet it helps a lot of people get off opiates. But then we have genetically modified salmon that's for full human consumption in the United States, and they refuse to even let us know if it's genetically modified salmon to allow us to make our own decision on it, whether or not we want to eat it. They're just going to release it into the population as far as the food supply and not tell anybody. And right now they've said, oh, we're not releasing it into the wild. We're keeping them secure. We're not doing any of this stuff. That'll be next. Now you see these photos of these massive pigs that are basically being bred over there in Cambodia that are more than likely genetically altered. And they may be using a combination of the two. They may be using some type of genetic alteration with the DNA. On top of that, they're trying to give them hormones and steroids to make them even bigger and trying to see if they can alter the DNA to make the hormones stick in that DNA. I don't know as far as the aspect of what they're doing, but this is where it's headed, guys. That's why it's so important. I tell you guys so much to try and get certified organic meats the best you can, because the cows, the hormones, the estrogen, the stuff they put in them, it's nasty. The chickens the same way. The turkeys the same way. You don't want to be eating this stuff of what they put in it. Once you start doing your research and realize it, or you go to some of these farms, and especially like you go to like a cow farm where they actually just do full milk processing, you see how nasty the conditions in that the cows are in. You don't want to drink it. You don't want to be around it. Don't put it in your body whatsoever, in my opinion. But guys, thank you so much for the support. Thank you for being on the show with us and listening to us every single day. Healthmasters.com, even just supporting us with a purchase of your basic ultimate multiple that we carry. Great starter product, great results. Some people only stick with that product and they love it. But that right there really helps us to keep the show funded, especially with no sponsors and no ads whatsoever on the show. Like I said, YouTube pulled down our show. We didn't even have it monetized. They still pulled it down. They're doing that all over the place now. They don't want this information going out, guys. So we appreciate the support. Thank you for keeping up the fight with us. Be sure to check out the product of the week with the magnesium brain food. Tonight's the last night. It'll be changing tomorrow for whatever's winning. Be sure to get online and vote, because we have a lot of ones that are neck and neck. Thyroid supports 47 votes. Cholesterol X is 46 votes. Zinc's 43 votes. They're all neck and neck this week. So be sure to vote on the ones that you want, and we'll see what kind of special we can throw on it for tomorrow. So we appreciate everything, guys. Thank you for the support. You guys have a blessed, healthy, safe night, and we'll talk to you again from healthmasters.com tomorrow, as always.